Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is September 16th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. Now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and experiencing forgiveness.
Well, thank you, young lady. Much appreciation for taking over and doing the switchboard today. We are in St. Louis on the road. Completed our one workshop we had here, and so now we're just getting some grandbaby time in, and actually just heading to pick Adeline up and spend the afternoon with her at the museum. So we are blessed to have this little one who's 2.5 and just, of course, amazing. The experience of the newborn is just pretty awesome, and I have to acknowledge my daughter, Kristen, her husband, Aaron, for the way they're raising her at 2.5 is just pretty fabulous. Maintaining that space of the presence of love, it was really fun on Sunday to have 7 newborns with us at the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. Of course, the 7 newborns probably weren't there for the workshop, except energetically, but their parents were, and it was pretty awesome to conversation about healing of our genetics. You know, there's more and more research coming out every day that tells us that feelings, the thoughts, the realities, the pains, the traumas, the joys, the delight, skills of the generations are stored within our genes and passed from generation to generation. And sadly, because forgiveness was disappeared so long ago, we have seen generation after generation after generation simply take on the pain, the turmoil, and the trauma of their predecessors. And because nobody's had the skill, nobody's had the tools, or it seems the awareness with which to remove energetic influences of trauma from the genes, didn't even know it was possible. In fact, most of the world still doesn't conceive of that as a possibility. But recognizing that in the first century there was a technology that was given to us. Not an easy technology to apply. Actually, pretty simple and straightforward, but not an easy technology to apply, because what it means is that everything that has never been faced in your generations is going to have to be surfaced and looked at. And, of course, there's been some pretty crazy stuff go down in each of our family histories. And so to recognize that the invitation to do this work is the invitation to step into, face everything in your genetic structure that is unlike love, and develop the skill and the ability to remove those energetic influences. You know, in the ancient Aramaic, they talked about this idea of sin, and sin not being some terrible, awful thing we've done, not the Greek idea of sin, but rather as it was taught in the physics language Aramaic, in the psychological language Aramaic, sin is an archery term. And what it speaks of is energetically being off the mark. When you fired at the bullseye and missed the bullseye, the scorekeeper would yell, "Sin, you're off the mark." That's all it means. And there are certain energies that belong in a human life, and there are certain energies that don't. And each of those frequencies creates an impact and an influence on us. And those impacting energies and those influences carry on from generation to generation until they're removed. Of course, the wonderful stuff, the skills, isn't that awesome? Every skill that your forebears had is yours to use. Unless those skills have been overlaid by some form of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, pain, drama, or trauma. One of the first big pieces of learning to do, the first step into being able to change your genes, is to be able to think in terms of, train your mind to think in terms of, owning what's in your genes. And you'll notice that we live in a culture that does 180 degrees opposite. You'll notice that we live in a culture that if you're in pain, if you're in turmoil, if you're in trauma, this culture says that it's all somebody else's fault. You made me mad. You made me sad. You made me afraid. You hurt me. That upset me. That really disturbed me. They really caused me a lot of pain. That's the first lie that has to be faced, to learn the skill of stepping in and cleaning up your genes. You've got to love truth enough to know that whatever shows up in your mind belongs to you. And while you're talking about somebody else as cause, while you're talking about somebody else at all, then what you've just done is locked yourself out of your own genes, locked yourself out of the ability to access at the deepest levels the energetic patterns, the family patterns, the systemic thoughts of the culture that didn't belong. There's an interesting beatitude in the Aramaic, you know, classically translated. There's a beatitude that says, or at least through the Greek translations, it says, "Blessed are they mourning their wrongs, for they will be comforted." Now, I've never really met anybody who got any really warm heart cockles from mourning their wrongs, sitting around doing that. But if you go to the Aramaic language, in which those ideas were originally spoken, here's what that passage says. "A latent neural structure implanted by the Creator to guide you to happiness and well-being becomes your conscious possession. You who?" And then it gives a set of instructions. That particular instruction, the whole, that phrase that I just shared with you is the beginning of each and every one of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are a how-to access a latent guidance system that was put in you from the beginning. Now, the culture doesn't want you to function out of that because the culture wants to control you. And so the culture teaches us everything opposite of what will bring us into relationship with our highest guidance system. But that particular Beatitude says that this neural structure becomes your conscious possession when you are willing to look into your errors in thought and the errors of your society. And the number one error that needs to be confronted in our world is somebody looks at their spouse, internally there's pain or upset, and they say to their spouse, "You really made me mad. I'm upset because you did this." We call that in this work denial. The thought or the languaging that someone else is responsible for what's happening within us is the cause of us dissociating from or hiding from ourselves the parts of our mind with which our pain is created. And so the whole culture is living in denial. Where did you ever hear somebody who said, "Gee, you know, sweetheart, when you did thus and so, that really brought a lot of anger up in me. And What I'd like to do is confront and heal my anger. Would you support me? Where have you heard that? When did you see that in your home, your church, your university, your legislature? When did you see a legislator who got up and went into a tirade and owned their tirade? No, it's always somebody in the other party's fault. The whole culture's stuck in denial. And if you can't undo your denial, you can't change your genes because you can't access directly what's hidden there. And so without the ability to do that, which is what first century forgiveness teaches, then you're stuck with nothing but the generational patterns. And that's why in Aramaic, the physics language, they said the sins of the fathers will be passed yea unto three and four generations. Which means what? That these accumulated patterns and habits of thinking that are off the mark, of feeling, that are off target relative to your energy system, they are passed energetically from generation to generation. And the health consequences, the emotional, the psychological, the relational, the financial consequences of this denial dissociation game is incalculable. Absolutely incalculable, the suffering, the pain, the trauma that happens because people live in this state. And so if you're listening, and you're really listening with an ear that wants to learn this work, take my word for it. The first thing you've got to do is to retrain your mind that every time you're in any sort of pain or upset or turmoil, you think, you speak about yourself, but the content of your own mind. And you allow yourself to go more deeply inside where you find the genetic anomalies that are creating the circumstances that you say you want to have different. And so forgiveness is the key tool. If this tool, if this conversation makes sense to you and you have not yet accessed the forgiveness process, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. We have hundreds of hours of audio that you can listen to free. We have paid material, too. There's a catalog with DVDs, CDs, books in it. You're certainly welcome to go to those things and order them. But if you go to the website, the home page, you'll see a bullseye in the middle of the page. If you click that bullseye will open up a series of links. And that series of links will take you freely into all kinds of forgiveness material, all kinds of work. We want to support each and every person being successful at the use of the forgiveness process and bringing the tools into expression in their lives. It is totally and completely the opposite of what you would think would work. This is the tricky part of engaging in first century Aramaic forgiveness. It doesn't look like anything you've ever heard before unless you've heard from this work. It doesn't look like anything you've been taught before in the world. The world has taught us everything backward. So the world has taught us everything totally, completely backward. And the backward thinking is that somebody else is responsible. As you engage in that forgiveness process, when you click that bullseye, the first link is chapter 24 of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Second link is the Reality Management Forgiveness Worksheet. Third link opens a series of links that are all radio shows where you have where we have walked somebody through the forgiveness process step by step by step. So there are complete instructions, at least a dozen different sets of instructions that will walk you through the process. And as you unfold your awareness of the forgiveness work, then we invite you to call into the show regularly and ask for support, ask your questions. Even the smallest point on that worksheet that doesn't make sense is important to the whole process. And so we want your questions. We want to interact with you. We want you to be outrageously successful at healing every energy that has ever occurred in your bloodline that is unlike love. And the reason we say every energy that is unlike love, and that's our definition of healing, is that Forgiveness is the removal of what never belonged. How do we establish what belongs? Well, it's really very easy. All you have to do is hold a newborn child. And when you hold that newborn, you will know exactly what it is that a human life is. You will know exactly the energy that belongs in a human life. And as you learn what that energy is, it's very clear that it is the active presence of love. To engage in that active presence of love, you face, you confront everything in you that's less than that, and systematically, persistently remove what never belongs. So that's what we're here to support you in, and we're delighted that you're with us. Is Dr. Tim with us, Michelle?
Yes.
Well, let's say hello to the young man and see how he is and what's exciting. And actually, Tim, while you're sharing what you've got to share, I'm going to hand the phone to Jeannie, and I'm going to run in and get Adeline. We're at her daycare, and so we're going to pick her up and spend the afternoon with her. So we're delighted you're with us, sir.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. And listening to the intro and refreshing those points in my own brain cells. How are you, Michelle?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to coming out to Illinois in 10 days.
Well, I'm prompted to ask, since this is a Tuesday, and Tuesday is usually the prison day, why you're with us?
Well, we were invited to adjust our schedule by the prison to accommodate more efficiency, and so we went to the prison yesterday. And so actually maybe a little later, Rex is on the show. He can share with you some of our impressions from yesterday. It was a real good day.
Is he on the show now? Oh, that'd be the great time to do it.
All right, Rex. Are you there, honey?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, awesome. I was actually right in the middle of making a nice fruit salad. I just dry my hands off and have to get unmuted and say hi. Hi, everyone. Great intro on Michael's part. I know he's getting his grandbaby. And, Tim, you were going to mention, did you have any themes that were happening? You were right in the middle of that, and you'd asked about Michelle.
I was at a breath session this morning. I haven't seen any patients yet, and we haven't heard from you about the prisons in a while, so I thought that's a good place to start.
Awesome. Well, there's been a lot happening in the prison process. Let's see, how to start with that. We started a new class, Codependency to Interdependency. I had said to Mitzi and to Mark that it might be nice to have my days on Monday so it would make my travels every other week to Chicago easier. And I just kind of stated it as a possibility, and I think I might have mentioned it to Michelle. We talked a little bit about it. I'm not sure about that, but it was just in passing. And then within about a month, I had thought that it would be better to wait until we did it after the codependency to interdependency. But while I was in Theodosia at the intensive, I got a message from the captain of the guards and asked, and he said he was looking at my schedule, our schedule, and he said, boy, it'd be nice if you guys could do all your sessions in one chunk rather than having to go and come and spend the whole day here. What if we accommodated you and set it up on from 1:20 to 4:30 for both sessions? It was like, wow, if that works, that would be ideal. And so then we went in, and they found they had something else scheduled on Tuesdays that was conflicting at that time when we were coming in our first session. And so I just suggested, well, is Mondays a possibility? And he goes, well, it may very well be. And so, boom, we were doing Mondays. And it's not as ideal for the inmates because it's a big change. We've been doing it on Tuesdays. That's why I wanted to wait until the end of codependency. But the moment arose, and I took advantage of it, and Michelle was going a gung-ho for it, so we decided to change, and now we're going in on Monday. So there may be an adjustment in the numbers because we had smaller numbers initially. But we'll see how that goes, because when we get through this session, we're going to start another session. So I thought it went well. I thought there was a great interaction with new inmates, questions, communications, feedback, back and forth. I really enjoyed talking about codependency and bringing it out more. And as we all know, or most of us know in the program, that, you know, we teach what we need to know. We teach what we need to learn most, and that's what I see happening. Michelle, did you have anything specific that you thought was beneficial? Quite often you're watching, and I wondered
you
if
know,
you had
I,
anything.
What impressed me yesterday is that I think you could see over the hour and a half, how maybe there was some chuckling, some snickering, kind of uncomfortability in the audience that dissipated and then just continued to appear to be more engaged and, like you said, asking questions and kind of challenging your own thoughts. Well, what if this and what if that, or is it kind of like this, and bringing up their own Bible quotes and such. But then to crescendo, in both groups, Rex, people ask me after, remember, can I have more of those codependency worksheets? I had a lot of people who have offended me. And so we had extra copies and gave out more sheets. So I think they thought that was a kind of cool exercise to be able to provide some advice for those people who have offended us and then recognize that it's just a projection of the dissociated and denied parts of ourselves.
Absolutely. That's a really good, all of those are good points, but the one that especially about the, I remember the inmate sitting in the center about halfway back that was putting his hands in his head, you know, his hands on his forehead and shaking his head and snickering and, you know, disrupting somewhat apparently the people
mm-hmm.
beside him.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of that same guy was saying some very thought out statements/questions. And at one point I was talking and his partner was sitting next to him talking and he slapped him in the arm. He said, "Shh." I don't know if you noticed that, Michelle, when
yeah.
you did that.
No, it was
just the opposite. So, yeah, I think we did have, we established a pretty strong connection on the first session with that group and with the other group. And we had a small number of our people that we've been working with back. It's great to see them.
Well,
but,
I was
going
to
know. Many as you thought. Go ahead.
Okay, on that, I was going to mention this next, that there were two or three guys from the 10 months of Laws of Living, so they were really, committed to the work and hanging tough, and it resulted in their scores. And these particular men have disclosed that they've gone back to their peers and are teaching it like kind of footlocker style. And so when we first spread out the exercise, they're just looking at me and Rex, because they both, you notice they're both sitting in the front row then this time, and they're looking at me and Rex, and they're like, we don't have anything to write. Nobody offends us anymore. And we're like, right, no, come on. And so, you know, they said, no, really, we practice this. We're clearing stuff. You know, we have to dig way, way back in our past to try to find something that is, you know, offending. And so I suggested, well, you know, what about world events and, you know, some of the beheadings and war and human trafficking, and kind of suggested some things, and as did Rex. And so then what they recognized is they put both of us down because they were offended that we didn't think they had dug deep enough to find issues. And so it all turned out to be rather playful and fun. But I think it was evident that they had really been doing for some work, and then they really were, you know, like, huh, it's not as easy to come up with anybody who I'm really hating on.
That's excellent. And one of them, Ron, and I won't say his last name, but Ron basically was sitting right up front. And last session he came in, he had said that the guards and the administration is allowing him to teach this material to other people. And he just kind of tongue-in-cheek said to me, he says, I'm teaching the Laws of Living class. I'm talking to people about it. I'm having a group that I'm meeting with. And they're letting me do it. They're not stopping me. And I thought, well, that is excellent. Well, he was there again, and he was one of the ones that was saying, you know, I just can't think of anything that offends me. because everything that appears to offend me is coming from inside me. I said, well, that's ideal. That's when you also write your own name on there. And if you know it's you, then you look at the situation and so on and so forth. So it's really cool because that's a wonderful model for new people to see the effects of the work. And it's good for all of us to be reminded of that and realize that do the work daily and keep doing it. Even when you're happy, do the work because you'll be more likely, and I have found for me, I'm more likely to remember to do the work and be able to do the work when I'm doing it, when I'm feeling peaceful on a regular basis, and also it's easier to do it when I'm upset. And our idea of doing the work is really just going within and using the forgiveness tool as a primary tool, but that's also using the breath and using all the different modalities that Michael teaches, and in addition to that, some of the other techniques out there, the tapping is excellent. Anything that will allow you to surface a hidden reality, bring it up and forgive it. And our idea of forgiveness is to untie or cancel whatever it is that we have in us and release it and remove it from our field. And they seem to really be getting it. So it's pretty exciting. I don't know if Michael's back. And Tim, are you there still?
I'm here. I don't believe awesome. Michael's back yet, though.
Well, he's got a very pleasant, wonderful distraction happening, I'm sure. It's Adelaide, so, isn't it? Isn't it?
He's probably teaching the kids forgiveness work.
Or they're probably teaching him. But I thought all in all we had, it was interesting. We had interactions with a number of guards. We had interactions with Warden Skipper. There's two wardens that are the, there's three wardens altogether, two assistant slash wardens, and then one main warden. Well, we interact with the assistants, and Skipper is one of them. He's the warden over volunteer work and the organizational stuff relative to the inmates and what we do. And it's very interesting because we find that on a regular basis we get to interact with him and we don't have to seek him out. He just all of a sudden shows up. So it's pretty unique how that happens. I find it to be intriguing, and it's almost every single time we come in now. And I think it's just the way, you know, the universe just takes care of things and moves and grooves. And getting a new captain, and then I made a request in my mind, in my heart, that it might be nice in the future to have a different day, and boom, there we are, different day. So, you know, I think it's a really good reminder to be willing to, you know, present my awareness, my conscious act of love, to present that, and then be willing to, it's a healthy thing to petition the things I want, you know, to petition for clarity, petition for, you know, I'm looking at down the road here, not too far, to get a new car. So I start to see that I have a car, and I start to experience having the car. And then, like Dale talks about in his process with manifestation, or manifest is in Aramaic, to make obvious. So part of that process is to see it, see the end from the beginning, see it happen. So it's pretty effective, and I found it to be very true. And then also to pray, you know, to incorporate that idea of to ensnare God and to realize the difference between the two. So those are just some thoughts, Tim. I don't know if, Michelle, you had anything else you wanted to share?
No, I think that's cover it. We actually do have somebody with their hand up from very near the intro. Oh, no, I guess they didn't want to wait. Oh, well,
if you have their number there, we can just state that if they'd like to raise their hand again, we were wrapping up, and we'd love to have them ask questions or share whatever they want to share. And then I'll go ahead and mute unless you had anything else to ask, Tim or Michelle, anything else to offer?
Well, it feels complete to me. And we want to give the number out and let people know they can call in at 646-200-4169 and press 1, and Michelle will know you have a question or comment for us. And so if I understand this correctly, Rex, then now you're going to be there on Mondays instead of Tuesdays from now on at the prison?
That's correct.
All right. So maybe on Tuesdays we'll be able to get an update on a regular basis.
Sounds awesome.
All right. I think
Michael will
back.
Be able to call Tuesday up Tuesday. So that's pretty cool. And I didn't get to hear all that you guys shared about the prison, but I'm just so appreciative of the fact that you two are willing to devote the time, the energy, and the money that it takes to do what you're doing in that prison. It's just monumental. And I look forward to getting to join you when we are in Lansing to making the journey up there and getting to share the tools with as many as we possibly can within that system.
And, Michael, I did want to mention, I think it would be a good idea for you and Jeannie to contact the reformatory and reestablish in advance your clearance. Couldn't think of the word, but the clearance that you're going to need to have so
right.
we aren't delayed in that process. I was going to call you, and I know you called me, and I haven't had a chance to get back with you, but that was what I was going to call you about.
Okay, well, I'll call Skipper.
Awesome.
I've got his phone number. I've got his cell personally. So I'll call him and just say hello and let him know we're going to be there, invite him to come and join us for the series that we're doing in Lansing, and then see what we need to do, if there's anything else that needs to happen for me to Virginia and I.
That'd be awesome.
Join you guys. Yeah, we'll do it.
And
thanks
I
reminder.
Also, you bet. And we also have been mentioning to the inmates that it's going to be a special treat because you're going to be here this fall. And anybody that's a part of the class is going to be able to, you know, experience you and Jeannie firsthand, the real McCoy.
Cool.
So we're posing that as a additional carrot to help them stay interested and also to stay with the work and be excited about the process. So thank you, everyone, and thank you, Michael.
All right. Awesome. So, Michelle,
I'm go ahead
have
and
a hand
now.
Up or call? Excuse me. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying,
Jim,
I'm going to mute now. And then, I was just saying that I was going to go on mute, and I'll just listen in the program silently on this.
Okay.
End. Thank you so much.
Okay. Blessings. So 646-200-4169. You perhaps hear that little voice in the background. That's Adeline. For those who were listening to the show 3 years ago, December, you heard that little voice as it kind of gave us a cry in the background. She was about, I think maybe 6 or 7 days old, the first time our listening audience heard from Adeline. And now you hear words. She'll be 3 in December, and sentences, and, you know, things are just rocking along. Just a whole little creature in being and expressing in our lives. It's pretty awesome. So, Michelle, do we have anything exciting happening in the chat room? Anything that anybody's asking or looking at in the chat room and or anybody with a hand up in the phone?
I'm chatting with Sarah from Illinois and just talking about what's going on with her most recently. And Angela from Alaska is listening, too. And so, nobody's got a hand up and things are peaceful.
Cool. Well, our call-in number, and you'd be next in line if you have a question or thought for us. How can we support you in understanding and applying these tools of first-century Aramaic forgiveness? And, you know, a lot of people live in a world and live in a game where, well, I don't have to do anything. It's already handled for me. You know, I'm already taken care of. It's like, well, If you're taken care of, here's what life is going to look like. It's going to be aliveness. It's going to be joy. It's going to be creativity, 24/7, 365. If that's not what's happening, then stop kidding yourself that you're taken care of because you're not. I've had people come to my workshops or come to intensives that, you know, well, I don't really have anything to do because I've already said the right prayer and I've already made said the proper words to get it all handled. And it's like, excuse me. If you're st- still having turmoil and pain and trauma in your life, then there's work for you to do. It's not all handled. And, you know, there are many circles where there's a pretense that it's all handled. It's handled when we are each functioning as the active presence of love. And yes, we're talking about a pretty high standard. People have said to me, well, gee, Michael, you've been doing this work for 45 years and you're not finished yet. Well, no, I haven't gotten to the point where 24/7, 365, I physiologically feel the activity of love present in my form. I haven't gotten to that place yet. I certainly have it light years beyond and more than I had it when I first started doing this work, when I first started to comprehend it and apply the tools. But it's a process that takes a significant amount of time when you're looking at changing the patterns of 1,000 generations, and you're looking at understanding how this human, we could say in today's technological world, we could say how this operating system works. You know, I like to use an example of, you know, how many people spend hundreds and hundreds, thousands of hours learning and understanding their computer system to be able to do, you know, some of the simplest tasks. And yet when a virus strikes, they think nothing of, oh, well, I guess I'm going to spend 2 days fixing this. I'm going to spend 2 days unloading the operating system, reloading, doing the repair process. But the same people, although the operating system, their computer, was designed by geniuses and has only been in operation for about 60 years and only had input from pretty much people who understand how the system works, when you think, gee, if I get a virus, I'll spend 2 or 3 days getting it straightened out, hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief are all viruses in the human system, and your human system has been in development for 1,000 or more generations, and your human operating system has had input. You know, you look at the genetics of all of us. We've had murderers, thieves, rapists, killers. We've had, you know, and we've had some pretty awesome, blessed people in our genes. And when one of those viruses, one of those energies based in hostility or fear comes forward, most people think, well, if I have to spend more than 2 minutes, that's ridiculous. Like, well, okay. But just know that there is a serious piece of work for each of us to do to free ourselves from those energetic influences of the generations. It's just a necessity if you're going to really, truly function fully as you are designed to function, as true human beings. And that's what we're here to support. And so if you've got a question or a thought for us, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And if you push 1, that puts up a little hand in the phone queue, and Michelle will know that you want to talk to us. So push 1, and you are next in line. How can we support you? What's your question? And what can we do to help you to comprehend these tools on a deeper level? Michelle, anything happening in the chat room? Anybody with a hand up?
No, Michael, not right now.
Well, where is everybody today? You know, we get so many days where, gee, we're right down to the wire and there's still 4 hands up. Somebody's out there. Don't wait till the last minute. It's interesting. There are a few people who call in and they wait until the last minute and a half and then they say, oh, too bad. We didn't have time to really address this. Well, put your hand up now. We've got several minutes left. And we'd love to entertain your questions. Your question supports absolutely everybody.
All right, we
supports
have a taker.
Everybody. Oh, good. Cool.
So, area code 314, you're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Darlene. I'm in St. Louis. Can you hear me?
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey there, young lady. We can hear you loud and clear. Isn't this technology just magical?
Yes, it is. I was at the meeting that you, the presentation that you did on Sunday here at Washington University.
Right.
And I picked up the worksheet, and I've been doing a couple worksheets. It's very powerful. I find this work incredible. I dissociated pretty badly about 10 years ago and was in the hospital and on 4 different psychotropic medications. I'm off everything now, but everything you said was my experience precisely. But I just never have gotten this far into the material in terms of having the forgiveness piece.
Right.
I just wanted to say that I'm really grateful and appreciative of the work you're doing.
Well, I'm grateful and appreciative of the fact that you're willing to put the pen to the paper and face it. Did I understand you to say that you're currently taking 4 different psychotropics?
No.
Or you
I
have
was
in the past?
10 years ago.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it.
When
I
was hospitalized and, I went into, very bad, where I just couldn't stay in touch with reality at all. So I do have a question just to start off today. For me personally, using a newborn, it's hard for me to invoke that loving feeling, and I know that it's a common, I can remember back to, I have 4 children, I can remember back to when they were born. But part of my dissociation is my separation from my kids. So it actually is combined with grief when I think about newborns.
Right.
I was wondering if you have any experience with that or could comment on that or help guide me in that.
Well, here would be my input. First of all, what we're inviting people to do is to tap into the energy of the newborn, not the energy of self around the newborn. What my experience is that gives people an opportunity to go back to what for most people is a peak experience. And that peak experience of that connectedness to love is something that will bring monumental amounts of healing. And if, for instance, as you say, you've got some pain and turmoil around separation from your children, one of the most powerful healing influences I believe that you could have in healing that pain and that turmoil is to keep tapping in and really going back to the instant of that first connection and that first direct experience of that awesome presence of love that your children are. And then breathe that into, allow yourself to really tap into that active presence of love, and then breathe into the pain that you're aware of around separation from your children or whatever the specific dynamic is, and combine that with, if, for instance, if, say, as a mom, there's loss, maybe the experience of loss of affection of the child or something along those lines, then I would do the worksheet process around, with my child as number one, A is the object of attention, and if it's the experience of loss of affection, then loss of affection, and go through the whole process. And what you want to do, when emotional states become uncontrollable, it's pretty awesome that we have, if we've got a set of hands and a mind that really knows how to use it, have the chemical support available to get somebody back into a balanced place so that they can do the work of forgiveness. And so allowing yourself to bring forward that pain piece by piece, bit by bit, until you've dissolved all of it. Because any pain that you have around separation from your children is an energy that you created at the moment when that separation occurred, or it may be a genetic memory of a parent, last generation, 2 generations, 10 generations ago, and the loss of a child, so it can be disproportionate. And so let's say it's something generational. 10 generations ago, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother lost a baby and was just in such grief. So you may find yourself literally accessing that grief of that great-great-grandparent, and allowing that energy to move through you in the active presence of love is what will dissolve it and free not only you of it, but free that ancestor of it and free your children of it from their genes. It will open the energy window for all of those things to change.
Well, when I was hospitalized, I was having like these really tremendous experiences of grief, and I was actually identifying with Mary watching her son on the cross.
Mm,
and that
yeah,
was
I hear that
a
one.
Big it was a big trigger for me.
Yes.
At that time. So, you know, I know it's still there. You know, but it's big.
Well, you know, unfortunately in some circles, suffering has been pushed as, oh, isn't this a great thing? My offering is that suffering is not what it's about. It's about coming to the experience of the active presence of love.
Yeah.
And to let go of and be free from the suffering is
right.
Where the real key is. You know, Yeshua, I don't think, came to teach us the power of suffering. He came to teach us the power of staying connected to active love when something came along that one would normally suffer over. And as that happens, what occurs is healing. And so I'd invite you to go into a space of perhaps a meditation. And, you know, if you have identification with Mary and her pain, there's a great scene in the Passion of Christ where... Say it again?
No, that was somebody walking by me, sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's a really powerful scene, if you haven't seen the movie The Passion, but Yeshua is carrying the cross, and he falls under the weight of it, and Mary has been trying to get to him and can't get there, just can't bring herself to it. And the power of the scene, and I don't know if Mel Gibson was so tapped into how healing occurs that he put this in there, or whether it's an accident that ended up, but it's interesting because she watches him fall under the weight of the cross, and she has to turn away. But what she turns away to in that film is she then processes Yeshua as a little boy falling and hurting himself. She has to go back. He demonstrates in that film her going back and being able to process her pain about his pain as a little boy being hurt. And then she's able to turn back to him and really hear his words. And his words to her were, "Mother, behold, I'm going to put the long form in here. I'm going to inject something extra here. Mother, behold, I, comma, the active presence of love, comma, make all things new. I bring forward not my suffering, not my pain, but I bring to this suffering my human life, the active presence of love, and as I do, I transmute and transform suffering. I move it into a different form where all of a sudden, in the presence of love, there is healing."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really, to me, was a really impactful and powerful scene in that film.
Yeah, I really, your description of it, yeah, beautiful.
And so as you go in and cancel your need, as you go in, let yourself, get yourself into a really connected, loving place, a powerful place, and allow yourself to access that energy that you experienced of suffering with Mary. And just, you know, do it gently with yourself. You don't have to go in full bore and you're going to do it all yesterday. But maybe just kind of do a meditation where you sit on the edge of it and you grasp a little bit of that pain and you let it process through you. And tomorrow you grasp a little more of that pain and you let it process through you until it's done. I love what, there's a 13th century mystic named Rumi, and he gives us a really big key to the whole process. And he says, in the presence of love, all pain becomes medicine. And that's what Yeshua was teaching us 2,000 years ago, and that's what I hear him explaining to his mother under that fall. He says, hey, I got it handled, Mom. Don't worry about it. But Mom, in order to even face him, had to face her own pain.
Right.
And that's what each of us has to do to go to any situation, is face the pain that we carry into it. Otherwise, we project our pain into the circumstance. And then we come to think it's the circumstance that causes the pain. So it is an enormous piece of work, and I appreciate the fact that you're on track with it and using the tool.
Well, it took me a long time to get here where I could even really hear that and understand that message, you know?
Right.
And interestingly, after the workshop, I shared it with a few people. And one guy, a friend of mine, said, it sounds like it was the right time for you. And I knew it wasn't the right time for him. So,
right. Well, everybody in their own place.
We can revisit it, right. My other friend was very excited about it. And we're going to work on some things together. So.
Well, you know, in the Montessori system of education, there's a really brilliant piece that goes along with Montessori education. In the Montessori classroom, they have environments. They have an environment for learning math, an environment for learning science, an environment for learning history, an environment for learning geography. They have different environments set up, and the job of the teacher is not to fill the kid's head with information about any one of those subjects. The job of the teacher is to observe the child for the child's sensitive period, to let the child lead them. And, you know, the four-year-old might be ready for math. And so if the teacher is really tuned to the child, then the four-year-old leads the teacher into the math environment and bang, bingo, learns math in an instant. The kid who's seven that they try to force into the math world can't learn it, not ready, not in sensitive period. That child might be 10 before it's ready for math. And so, you know, the Montessori really had an awesome idea here of watching people for their sensitive periods and then putting them in an environment where they could learn what it is that they needed to learn. And it sounds like your friend was tapped into, it's your sensitive period for learning forgiveness and coming to a new level in that arena, and perhaps not his. And so that's pretty cool.
Right.
And one of the things that, you know, that we do when people are ready for that sensitive period is, you know, we have intensive residential workshops where, okay, you can go in and spend 9 days totally focused in learning and taking your process to the next level, and that's always pretty awesome, too.
Wow.
Darlene?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Michelle. I'm in the chat room, and I wanted to say I really appreciate your disclosures today, and there's another woman who was really resonating with a lot of things that you were saying. She's having some struggles related with her children. And so, Michael, your coaching was real helpful for her as well. When you mentioned Rumi, Michael, I was looking up so if I could find the exact quote. But what I found was is related to what Darlene's friend was saying. Rumi has a quote that goes, what matters is how quickly you do what your soul directs.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, delighted. Is there anything else that we can do to support you today? Any refinements, questions about the worksheet or the workshop at all?
Let's see. The worksheet does have some confusing aspects to it for me. There's one part. I just pulled it out. So let me look at it so I can find it.
Okay. Cool.
I think it's 6B.
Okay.
You know, I can tap into where I feel, you know, and how I feel maybe after getting through a certain, you know, up to there in the worksheet.
Right.
And about one, I see that, and I guess, is it like a shift in perspective that you're asking? Is that?
That's precisely it. What we're looking to do mm-hmm. is, you know, perception is driven by goals. When you cancel a goal, which is the core of the forgiveness process in Aramaic, perception has to shift. And so all we're looking to do is to get people to look back at number one, the situation that we're working with, and how does it look now? What's different about it? And usually the shift that people get is number one, when they were back on number one, it was all about somebody else, and when they get to number six, they see that it's all about me. It's like, oh, here's my opportunity to do my next piece of work. And that's always going to be exciting.
Okay, because, yeah, I wasn't really seeing it that way.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah, you're right on. That's it. That's it. You just want to document for yourself. And there's no right answer for that section. It might be, I feel 10 times worse. Or it might be, I'm lighter than a feather. Whatever's real for you in the moment. Sometimes doing that forgiveness process takes nosedives people right into the next layer of their healing and the next worksheet. Some people, it just lifts the load and, poof, what a relief this is.
Is it possible that it just goes on and deeper and deeper and deeper?
That's exactly what happens.
That there's no relief?
Say it again?
That there's no relief? Like, you know, if you take, like,
Well, that's what I'm saying. You may go right into the next layer of that issue. Also, you know, you'll notice that in many traditions, you know, whether it's the Catholic tradition, the Buddhist tradition, there are a lot of traditions that have beads that you use, you know. And the beads are actually symbolic of delving deeper into those parts of your mind and moving from one issue to the next, to the next, to the next. And so I think that's one of the reasons why many religious traditions have beads involved, is because you do go from one layer, one issue, to another, to another, to another, as you process through those things that are kind of daisy-chained in the mind down to the root of that particular painful reality. And then with forgiveness, freeing yourself from that reality altogether so that you're just finished with it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I would like to see.
You've got my support, absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael.
All right, blessings. Okay. Thank you for your call. Blessings. All righty. Bye-bye. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you are inclined, if you're on one of the stations where we don't have access to you in our control panel, we'd love it if you called in and asked your question. If you're looking to intensify your experience of this work, we're actually going to be with Dr. Tim in Woodstock, Illinois. Starting next Sunday, we'll do a Sunday morning service at Unity of Woodstock, and Sunday afternoon we'll do Why Is This Happening to Me Again, then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, we'll all free open workshops, 7 to 9:30 each evening. Saturday, there is one workshop that when we travel we charge a fee for, and it's $125. We'll be doing that one a week from Saturday in Woodstock, Illinois. And then from Woodstock, we'll head, actually we've got about 10 days, we're going up to do some writing and to visit with some friends and family up in northern Michigan, and then we'll be in Grand Rapids, Michigan, doing a full week in Grand Rapids. You're welcome to come and join us there. We'll then be doing a full week in Lansing, and then we've got a 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive starting on the 31st of October, and that will be in just a little southeast of Michigan, or pardon me, of Lansing, Michigan, and a little town called Pinckney, Michigan. So come and join us. We'd be delighted to have you with us. And the rest of our schedule is on the website. We're going to be in Wilmington, Bristol, Tennessee, and then heading to Florida. We've got a pretty full tour booked through Florida. So check our website out, whyagain.org. We're delighted that you joined us. We hold the space that you're going to have the best year yet of your eternal life. Give that gift to the world, and thanks for being with us. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through